Illumine our hearts, O Master, who lovest mankind with the pure light of thy divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well-pleasing unto thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is without beginning, and all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. Let us attend. At that time, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, See that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. We've come into the beginning of a most beautiful season of the year, the season of the Holy Dormition of the Mother of God. This season begins on August 1st with the procession of the cross and the lesser blessing of the waters. Not quite sure why it's called the Lesser Blessings, because in fact it's a longer service than the Great Blessing. But at the monastery, we began the beginning of that on Wednesday evening, the eve of August 1st, as we entered into the fast to prepare for the Holy Dormition of the Mother of God. During this season, we celebrate the Feast of the Lord's Transfiguration. That will be done this Tuesday. And then we celebrate the glorification of St. Hermann of Alaska on Friday. And then we celebrate the falling asleep of the Holy Mother of God on August 15th, which I believe is Thursday, a week from this Thursday. With the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ this Tuesday, August 6th, we actually embark on a 40-day period, a kind of a mini Lent, which is during which time we come into the falling asleep of the Theotokos, and then we'll also come into the beheading, the death of John the Baptist on August 29th. The new year of the church begins on August 1st. In the Eastern Orthodox traditions, the church new year is on August 1st, not January 1st. And then the beginning, the first feast of the new year, September 8th, is the birth of the Theotokos. So you'll notice how, as we pass over from the old year to the new year, we are also passing over in the mystery of the Theotokos' death, her falling asleep, and of her birth, kind of resurrection, when she is called the daughter of God, who was born, and we celebrate the birth of the Theotokos as the dawning of our salvation, because the Theotokos is the temple that the temples of the Old Testament are all about. She is the temple that the creation is all about, the temple of the creation, the temple of heaven and earth. The whole of Holy Scripture is moving towards the mystery of the birth of the Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, as the living temple, not a temple of stone, not a temple of the skins of animals, but a living temple of human flesh and blood. Her womb becomes the sanctuary of the temple. Because, we're celebrating the birth of the Theotokos as the temple, the living temple of God. Because if the Theotokos is born, if she's now manifest, that means that the temple of God is now here. And of the temple of God, our Lord told us throughout the prophets, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, that he would come and abide with us in his holy temple. From his holy sanctuary, that's where he would speak to us. This is what he said to Moses on Mount Sinai. From his holy sanctuary, in other words, from the mystery of the Holy Virgin Mary, from the sanctuary of her womb, he speaks to us in the Holy Theotokos. And so the birth of the Theotokos is full of joy, because it means that if the temple is here, that means that the time when God is going to come to be with us and to become one with us is also near. And so we begin moving with the birth of the Theotokos. We begin moving towards Christmas when we celebrate the birth of Christ. When Christ comes in the temple of his body, he comes out of the gate of the temple of his Holy Mother. And this season that we are now that we have now entered into, which is not just the season of the Dormition, but it is actually this 40-day season that begins with the Feast of the Holy Transfiguration. It ends 40 days later with the elevation of the cross, the exaltation of the cross. So you see how time itself bears the shape and the substance of Pascha. Because the creation is the temple. And the movement of creation is the movement of God into his holy temple. And of creation, of man and woman, the faithful of God, moving into his holy temple so that the two can become one in the sanctuary of the temple. But the mystery of the temple is centered, I should say, the mystery of the temple, the mystery of heaven and earth, the mystery of creation, as the temple of God, is centered in the mystery of man as male and female. And in the temple of the body of man, it is centered in the sanctuary of man's temple, the temple of man's body, which is the heart. So the whole movement of creation, the whole movement of time, is centered on this beautiful mystery of God becoming one with us, that we might become one with God. The Holy Fathers call it the mystery of the spiritual marriage. The creation doesn't just exist. It doesn't just, you know, move meaninglessly. Human wisdom, human knowledge, cannot see past the sun and the moon or the stars. And so it measures time in terms of the movement of sun and moon, the earth around the sun, the moon around the earth. And it measures time in terms of what? Light years. This is the essence of things, as far as human wisdom can see. But as we notice in this morning's gospel, these two blind men follow Jesus, it says, into the house. And there their eyes are opened, and they see, and they give glory to God. The Lord tells them, don't say this, don't say anything to anybody. But they can't help it. So full of joy are they that they go and they proclaim his fame throughout the country. And our gospel this morning concludes with the Lord going throughout Galilee, which, as I said before, is the image of his bride. In the Old Testament, the land of Galilee is the image of his bride. So the Lord is going throughout Galilee, is going to his bride, drawing her into the house in order to heal her, in order to open her eyes so that she can see. And what does she see? She sees the glory of creation. She sees what creation is all about. She sees what is at the center of creation. She sees what she is all about, what is at the center of her own being. It's the sanctuary. We call it in the church the bridal chamber. The bridal chamber of the heart. The house that the Lord enters into this morning. I'm struck by the fact that it doesn't say whose house it is. It just says the house, which immediately makes one think of the house of the Lord of the Old Testament, which is the temple, whose center is the sanctuary, whose center is the human heart. So the Lord is going throughout Galilee. He's drawing his bride into the house and into the sanctuary of her house, into the temple, into the bridal chamber, into the inner chamber of her heart, that there he might test her faith, test her love, and give her sight so that she can see. And this is what she sees, that the world is not meaningless. Time does not just move with the sun and moon. In fact, there's a deeper time, a hidden movement. It is the movement of God's love for his bride. And it is the movement of the heart crying out for her bridegroom. This is the real movement that measures our existence. When we were at the monastery Mother Abbess Gabriella told us a story that I'll share with you because I think it illustrates a point that I want to make this morning. Father Roman would tell the mothers of Holy Intermission before he passed on. Well, when he was in Romania, and as communism was beginning to take over the government and the society of Romania, there was I don't know if he was a journalist or what he was, but he was taken up. He was a young, intelligent man taken up by the ideology of communism, and was disgusted hateful of the Christian Church, of course. And of course, being in Romania, he would know that the center of the Christian world, as it were, is Mount Athos. And so he decided that he would go to Mount Athos, and he would expose the deception and the foolishness of the Christian faith. All of these reports that come from Mount Athos, miracles, holy men glowing with uncreated light, elevating as there were, I mean, all kinds of, in his mind, crazy stories. He was going to go, and he's going to expose the foolishness and the fraud of the Christian faith. But he chanced upon an elder man who was also a pilgrim of many years, and when this older man learned of this younger man's intention, he said, "Okay, so you want to go to Mount Athos and see the holy mountain as it really is. All right, I'll show you what to do. You do what I tell you to do, and you do as I do. You just go with me, and you do exactly what I tell you to do, and as I show you to do, and you will see the mountain as it really is." So the man did as the older man told him to do. So they went to the mountain. He wore the appropriate clothing. He wore the appropriate facial gear. That is to say, he let his beard grow out. They went to the holy mountain, and the elder man took him to the various monasteries and made the prostrations in front of the icons, made the sign of the cross, greeted the monks in the appropriate manner, and stood for all the services. The younger man did exactly as the older man was telling him to do and showing him to do. The time of his visit to Mount Athos neared an end, and this younger man was found sitting on a rock in deep, on the mountain, on the holy mountain, in deep thought and troubled. A monk, an elderly monk, came to him and asked him, "What troubles you, my son?" And the young man answered, "Why would I go back there? Why would I go back into the world? It's meaningless. I want to stay here." Well, he couldn't stay there, but he went back into Romania. He took up the life of the Christian. And eventually he was arrested, thrown into prison, and there he died as a martyr of the Christian faith. I would suggest that when this young man went with the older man to the holy mountain and visited the various monasteries, he was going into the house where the Lord was. And as the prayers of the service, of the services, the hymns of the services, the teachings, the preachings, fell on his ears, it was the Word of God, the living Word of God, that was falling on his ears. I would say it was the wordless Word of God that was falling on his ears. I say wordless because finally the Word of God is wordless. He speaks his loudest word in the stillness of his Sabbath rest, his tomb. Because there he is not talking. There he is doing. And what's he doing? He's working his salvation in the midst of the earth. He's working our salvation in the depths of our death, in the temple of our body. He is raising us to life. He is fashioning us anew. He is healing our paralysis, our weakness. He's opening our eyes so that we can see beyond the sun and the moon, as far as the love of God, before our sight is lost in the abyss, the fathomless abyss of God's deep compassion. That's what he's doing in the midst of the earth. That's what he's doing in the house of the temple of our body. That's what he's doing in our heart. And this wordless word of God that falls on us in the services of the church, the preaching, the teaching, the prayers, the Holy Scripture, even in the movements, the liturgical movements, everything is saturated with the Spirit, the living waters of this wordless Word of God. And what this wordless Word of God is that's falling on us is the beginning in which we came to be. This wordless Word of God is the mystery of God, in whom alone we find our true name. Here's where we find who we are. Here's where we find what it's all about. Here's where we find ourselves. And here is where we are made whole from all of the sicknesses that we have inflicted upon ourselves, the wounds, the sores that we have inflicted on ourselves because of our choices we have made to chase after the idols, given our love to the idols rather than to the true and living God, so that our bodies, our souls, and our mind have become the temple of pagan idols. We become a pagan temple. But when we follow the Lord, as did this young man, as did the two blind men in this morning's gospel, whether we are following him as the two blind men did, willfully in desire, or in arrogance and scorn and self-righteous contempt, as did this young man that we heard about from Mother Abbess Gabriella, if we follow the Lord into the house, we come into the presence of the one who created us. We come into the presence of the one in whose image and likeness we exist. We see the reflection of who we are supposed to be. And when we see that, when our eyes are open to see that, the heart melts. The heart opens. The heart rushes out, wanting to embrace the feet of the Master, who, as it turns out, is already embracing us in the love and in the beauty of his Holy Mother, and in the love and the beauty of his tomb, his tomb, his death. He has embraced us with his death, because all of us are dying. St. Paul says that even spiritually we are already dead because of our sins and trespasses. And so in our death, we are embraced by God in his death. If we could but get into our heart, into the tomb of our heart, we would discover that it has been made into a bridal chamber. And we discover the Lord there. The Lord is there. How do we get there? This is the point that we try to make again and again and again. We don't know the way. We cannot get there on our own. There's only one way that we can get into the depths of our heart, in the house, in the temple of our body. That's in the church. Doing as the church tells us to do. Listening to the words of the church. They are the wordless word of God. Pondering, studying the images, the vision that the church sets before us. The words of her holy prophets. The words of her holy evangelists. And of the holy epistles of Saints Paul, Peter, James, and John, and Jude. Listening to them. Eating and drinking the church, which is the body of Christ. In everything that she is the body of Christ, saturated with the living waters of his Holy Spirit. And as we put aside our own opinions, as we lay aside every excuse and our own self-righteousness, the wisdom of our own opinions, as we get let go of all of that, and seek humility, seek contrition, to descend into the house and into the sanctuary of our heart, that's when our eyes begin to open and we begin to see who we are, what we're all about, in the mystery of our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know what? It may well be that those two blind men did, in fact, keep the Lord's injunction and said nothing to anyone. But it could well be that they spread his fame. How could they not spread his fame? They had been blind. Now they see. Everybody who looks at them is going to see that they're different, that they're changed. So also we, dear brothers and sisters, if we have discovered the Lord in humility, in contrition, in repentance, if we have found the Lord, if we have received the Lord, so that his is the life that we are now living, how can we not help but proclaim the goodness of the Lord simply in the joy that fills our heart and that now saturates all of our behaviors, so that people just looking at us, just being around us, can feel, as it were, the aura of the Lord's fire burning within us. They can smell, just in the way that we are, the fragrance of the Holy Spirit emitting from us. Just as we, when we go to the monastery, can smell the fragrance of the Holy Spirit and the beauty of Mother Abbess Gabriella, Mother Macrina, Mother Milani, Mother Olympia, Mother Apollinaria. I looked at a Mother Apollinaria this year. She must be close to 90. She walks in a walker. She's bent over and crippled. Her face is old and craggly. Is that the right word, craggy? Wrinkles, saggy. But I thought I could see within her face, I could see a light. And there was a sparkle in her eyes. And when I turned away from her, the impression that stuck with me was not that of an old face, but that of a very young face, because I believe it was saturated, it was enveloped in this glow of the Holy Spirit that she has given her whole being to, her whole life, and it has had an impact on her. It has changed her, so that even as she's growing old, and no doubt near, who knows if we'll see her next year, but even in her old age, she gives the sense of vigor, of joy, peace, quiet, gentleness. We're seeing the glory of the Lord shining in the face of Mother Olympia, of Mother Apollinaria, and of all the holy mothers there. So as we come into this beautiful season, Let's do all that we can. I mean, what do you want in life? What's your purpose? What do you want? Do you want what the church is setting before us? Or do you want what the world would give to you? If we want what the church would give to us, and which we can see in the faces of those mothers and sisters of Uliger Mission, if we want what the church would give to us, then come to the church. We have many opportunities over the next 10 days to come to the church and just listen, just absorb, receive the beauty of the Holy Mother of God and her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the mystery of her death and of her birth, her resurrection, in the mystery of the Lord's Holy Pascha, which can become the very substance of our life, even in this world. May it be so. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.